all starts with a root.
Oh, Johnny, go!
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life.
Right, sugar.
This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, John Tompkins.
There's a beat in rock and roll that's called the Bo Diddley beat. You'll recognize it as soon as you hear it, even if you didn't know it was called the Bo Diddley beat. Of course, it's named after Bo Diddley, but he didn't invent it. It goes all the way back to sub-Saharan African music. But he did popularize it in a way that made it really mesh with rock and roll. The song that it comes from is actually called Bo Diddley. And here's a little sample. I'll play it so you know what I mean.
Don't let it be spied, baby, diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine.
Do you recognize it? It's been used countless times since then. Elvis used it. The Who used it in Magic Bus. The Stones used it on Please Go Home in 1966. And Guns N' Roses even used it on Mr. Brownstone. Check it out. Now that beat, the Bo Diddley beat, that beat that goes boom, 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 ta. You recognize it, right? It's been used by artists that want to keep a certain rock and roll purity in their sound. Artists that want to make songs that sound like the early days of rock and roll, back to the time when rock and roll is making the transition from blues into rock and roll. They want that Bo Diddley raw quality to their music, uncompromised and not bogged down by modern trends and instruments, which is probably why Tom Petty used it on his debut album with the Heartbreakers on his 1976 song, American Girl. That was the last song that Tom Petty ever performed live before he died. He played a set at the Hollywood Bowl on September 25th and died on October 2nd following a cardiac arrest. That song was never a hit in its own right for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but it was one of their most popular songs. And it really illustrates what Tom Petty was all about. He was a rock and roll purist. Straightforward instrumentation, straightforward rock and roll beats, easy to sing to melodies, and just great songs about regular, real people. Today on Roots of Rock, we're going to do what we do best. We're going to dig into what and who made Tom Petty tick. Who inspired him to pick up his guitar and start writing songs? Who made him think that a guy from Gainesville, Florida could make it as one of the world's greatest musicians? What did he hope to achieve by writing music? And what was it that made him want to put out record after record and hit after hit? But first, let's hear another song. Music for that song was written by Mike Campbell, the lead guitarist for the Heartbreakers. And Mike Campbell writing the music, that was a fairly common process for the Heartbreakers during their songwriting. Mike Campbell would write the music and then pass it off to Tom Petty, who would write the lyrics, and the rest of the band would come together to fill in the rest. And that's exactly what happened on that song. Tom wrote the lyrics at a time when he was battling with his record company, ABC Records, who was trying to sell the Heartbreakers contract to MCA Records without letting them know about it. And that song was the second single on their third album, Damn the Torpedoes, and peaked at number 15 in the States, but hit number 2 in Canada. We love our Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers up here. The amazing thing about the Heartbreakers is that some of the members go all the way back to high school days. That's pretty rare for a band to last that long and go all the way back to their teenage years. They formed a band in those days originally called Mudcrutch. And there were a few different members from the Heartbreakers, but they sounded really similar to the Heartbreakers. All the essentials were there. And when Mudcrutch broke up, Tom Petty gave being a solo artist a try. And he didn't really like what he was producing. So he went back to a couple of the guys from Mudcrutch, Mike Campbell and Ben Montench, and formed Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And those three guys were mainstays throughout the lifespan of the band. Other members came and went over the years, but those three were always there, with Tom Petty writing lyrics and singing, playing guitar, Ben Montench on keyboards, and Mike Campbell writing the music and also contributing on guitar. Their music became the soundtrack to so many people's lives. I mean, just try to find me somebody who couldn't name you at least a handful of Tom Petty songs. Rebels by Tom Petty, a guy who liked to sing about rebels. And he was a bit of a rebel himself. He's known today as a rock and roll icon, and his music has influenced so many that have come after him. And take Dave Grohl. Foo Fighters consistently cover the Heartbreakers song Breakdown when they play live. And Dave Grohl himself even played for the Heartbreakers at one point. It was right after Nirvana had broken up, and Tom Petty asked Dave Grohl to join the Heartbreakers as their drummer. And Dave Grohl declined, but he did play one show on SNL, and I'm going to post the video up on the Rock Facebook page, so check it out. Dave Grohl said it was one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make, saying no to Tom Petty. But he made that choice because he went on to start the Foo Fighters. So it kind of worked out for Dave in the end, right? John Bon Jovi, he used to be in a band called The Wild Ones, which was actually named after the Tom Petty song. So you know John Bon Jovi was a huge fan. Kings of Leon were massively influenced by Tom Petty. The list goes on and on. Even Taylor Swift. There's no question that Tom Petty was influential musically, especially in the rock world. But he was also influential in maybe a lesser known way and in the musical world in general. You see, when Tom Petty first signed a record contract, it was with a small record label called Shelter. Shelter turned around and sold his contract to MCA, who was a much larger record company, obviously. And MCA wouldn't surrender Petty's contract. It kind of left him handcuffed. He didn't like the contract. So he pulled a move that was kind of ingenious. He financed his next album by himself to the tune of about $500,000. And because it cost so much, he was able to declare bankruptcy, which forced MCA to void his contract. And it also forced them to re-sign his contract under much better terms, where Petty got a larger cut of the royalties. It was a brilliant move, and it paved the way for other artists to get a better cut from their record companies in the following years. Tons of artists have done that, and you know what? It even made it so they didn't have to pull that move. They just the threat of being able to do it forces record companies to give a bigger cut to the people who are actually making the music. Tom Petty went on to join a supergroup in the 80s called the Traveling Wilburys that featured George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Bob Dylan. And near the end of that stint, he went off on his own with a solo career and eventually joined the Warner label. Around that time, he released his second solo album, which was essentially Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, since it featured a bunch of the Heartbreakers as session musicians and had a bunch of hits on that album, like You Don't Know How It Feels, Wildflowers, and It's Good to Be King. Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to Roots of Rock, where we take some of our favorite artists and break down what makes them tick. We want to find out why they write the songs that they do and who influenced them in their style. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out who it was that made Tom Petty think that he could make it as a rock star. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and welcome back to Roots of Rock. This is the show where we delve into some of the greatest rock and roll acts ever, and we trace their influences as far back as we can get in an hour. Today, we're doing the late, great Tom Petty. He grew up in a place where not a lot of rock and roll stars were from. Gainesville, Florida wasn't really known as a place where people could hit it big time. And Tom Petty had never really thought of being a musician. He didn't think it was something he could do for a living. That was until something he saw changed his life forever. He was 14, and the year was 1964. Of course, that was the year that the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. You know I feel all right. You know I feel all right.
You can really hear the Beatles in Petty's music, can't you? When you hear the Beatles back-to-back with some of his stuff, you can really hear the influence. And it's funny because Tom Petty is the very definition of an American rocker, an American icon singing about American life. But one of his greatest influences was a four-piece band from Liverpool, England. Go figure. Another band that just happened to be from England that was a huge influence on Petty was the Rolling Stones. They were what Petty described as his punk. They were rebels to him. The Beatles were the working-class guys who'd made it as musicians, and it's shown that anyone can do it. But the Rolling Stones were the bad boys that everyone wanted to be like. Anything about that song sound familiar? Remember the Bo Diddley beat? That was it. It was in that song. And I'm telling you, now that I've pointed that beat out to you, you won't be able to unhear it. And you're going to hear it in so many songs. Now, Tom Petty was writing music in the late 70s that he felt wasn't being made by other artists. Disco was huge in the mainstream, and he really didn't latch on to any of the punk or heavy metal stuff that was going on. So he was really left with just that pure, unadulterated rock and roll sound. He had longed for the days of his late teens in the late 60s when stuff like the Stones were playing on the radio. Stuff like the Stones and bands like CCR. Run Through the Jungle by CCR. Now, many people thought that song was written as a protest song against the Vietnam War. And given CCR's history of writing war protest songs, that was a reasonable assumption. But John Fogerty actually clarified that that song was about the proliferation of guns in the USA, which, given recent events down there, it's still a pretty relevant song. Another interesting thing about that song, though, was that it was the center of a fairly unusual lawsuit. A guy named Saul Zaintz, who was at the time the boss of CCR's record label, Fantasy Records, brought a lawsuit against John Fogerty, saying that the Old Man Down the Road song was too similar to Run Through the Jungle. Now, Run Through the Jungle was released in 1970, and The Old Man Down the Road was released in 1984. I guess that Saul figured that since John Fogerty was a solo artist in 1984, he was kind of trying to pull a fast one. And he thought that he was trying to copy his old song, just take the song and switch up the lyrics and re-release it as a new song, and that was infringing on Fantasy Records' rights to the publishing for CCR. It's kind of an interesting case. So let's compare the two. Since I brought it up, let's listen to both. Let's hear Old Man Down the Road and listen for similarities to it and Run Through the Jungle. So what'd you think? Pretty similar, right? It sounds a lot like Run Through the Jungle. the sound, the hook, the guitar riff. But guess what? The judge ruled in favor of Fogerty. He ruled that an artist could not plagiarize himself. What a strange place the legal world is. Old Man Down the Road went to number one in the USA. Interesting bit of trivia about CCR, though, is that they never had a number one hit in the USA. Remember, Old Man Down the Road was John Fogerty as a solo artist. CCR has the record for the most hits to get to number two and never reach number one in the USA. Think about that. Think about how many songs you know of by CCR. Not one of them went number one. They never had a number one, despite being as prolific and popular as they were. I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. Today, we're tracing the influences of the late, great Tom Petty. We heard how it all started for him at the Beatles' first appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. It went to the Stones, which influenced Petty's rebellious side, and then went to CCR, who appealed to the grooving blues rock side of Tom Petty. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out who got to Tom at a young age, right back at the beginning, which artist he actually got to meet that consequently had him trading in his slingshot for that artist's records. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
I'm Sean Tompkins. Welcome back to Roots of Rock. Now, when Tom Petty was a young boy, he had an uncle that worked on the set of a movie that featured none other than Elvis Presley. Tom got the chance to meet Elvis and was as starstruck as he'd ever been. I've heard him describe it as being as close to meeting Jesus as you could get. As soon as he came home, he traded his slingshot and went right out and got a bunch of Elvis 45s.
I got a woman way across town. She's a good to me.
I got a woman.
It was Elvis that set Tom Petty in the musical direction that he would take on so many years later. It was Elvis that bred a love in rock and roll in Tom Petty's heart. It was then the Beatles' turn to convince him to pick up a guitar and start making music himself. Later on, when disco and punk were the main forms of musical expression going on, it was bands like the Rolling Stones and CCR that made Tom Petty want to make a certain type of music. Add in the fact that he was a great songwriter with amazing hooks, and you are left with the musical icon. He will be missed, but he left us with so much great music. So let's hear one more to end off the show. I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. Thanks for joining me today. Let's do it again. Tune in for next month's episode on the first Saturday and Sunday of the month. I'd also like to send out a special thanks to Alex Zaretsky for technical consultation.